This is the part we call Dharma Talk. Dharma simply means purpose. Our purpose is love. If we live love, we're happy. His Holiness the Dalai Lama says, if you wish to be happy, practice compassion. If you wish other people to be happy, practice compassion. The challenge is that we live in a world where that's not the norm, and it's not necessarily our default, and so we struggle with it sometimes. And sometimes we find ways out of our struggles and stories, and that's the line that I've been following for the last several weeks. I wanted to talk about stories that are from our culture, and by that I mean actually an ancient Jewish culture. Because to many people, the United States is a Christian country. If you go to any motel or hotel anywhere, you're going to find what? A Bible, exactly. You're going to find a Bible. And so it is sort of presumed that we know these stories. We all kind of, and like today I'm going to talk about the Tower of Babel. You've heard of that, right? Right, okay, it's the Tower of Babel. We'll talk about that. But we sort of know these stories. We don't exactly know the stories. And the shame of the story is that in so many ways, the cool part of the story, in my opinion, got left out. Because a lot of times it's molded in one way or the other. So this morning, I want to talk about the Tower of Babel. This actually comes from the book of Genesis, and let me tell you why there is this story. People who are Christian, people who are Jewish, tend to, in many ways, sometimes believe that there were no cultures, there were no societies before them. Well, we know that's not true. There were actually cultures way before them. Now, these people built things and sometimes left things, and then later the Israelites, who were a nomadic people for 40 years, as we know, come in and they see these things, and then the kids say, what's that? Aren't kids good at that? They all want to know, what is that and where did it come from? So that was a question. What is that and where did it come from? Well, in Iran and other areas of the Middle East, there are things that are called ziggurats. A ziggurat is like a pyramid, but it goes up, and instead of to a point, it goes like this, and then it has a flat place on the top. So what happened was the kids are looking at this, or someone was looking at this and asking a wise person, where did that come from? Now, they also had another question. The other question was, supposedly, everybody on the planet got wiped out. That's what all the elders were telling them, except for Noah and his family. So everyone was a descendant of Noah. Everyone was from the same family. Well, then why is it that if I travel, I meet people who don't speak the same language? If we're all descended from the same people? These were two questions that the Tower of Babel story answers. Number one, what are these half-finished towers that we can see? Now, to them, they thought they were half-finished because they had the little plateau on the top. It made a great story. This is not actually an accurate depiction of what the Tower of Babel probably would have looked like. It's a flat surface up on top, and so it looks unfinished. And so people would have looked at it and said, number one, why? And number two, why do we speak different languages? So let me read you this real quick. This is from Genesis 11, 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a place in the land of Shinar and settled there. As they said to one another, let us come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. I love this. How God is personified. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower. It's like the construction foreman showing up on the site, you know? God just pops in. What's going on here? So God pops in to see what the mortals had built. And the Lord said, look, they are one people and they are all of one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel. And I just lost my place. Here it is. Therefore, it was called Babel because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad across the face of the earth. Babel, Hebrew, to confuse. That's all it means. Babel, Hebrew, to confuse. We tend to think Babel because we tend to, that's that old Richard Stans theory. You know, when you think you don't understand it, you appropriate it. The Richard Stans theory is when children are saying the Pledge of Allegiance and they don't understand it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for Richard Stans. Okay, so we think Babel, it's actually Babel, and it simply means to confuse. So here we've got this story where human beings are coming together, and human beings are, here is the standard take on the story, okay? Human beings all come together and they have the temerity, the gall to try and build a tower that reaches God. Don't they know they belong down here and God is up there? It leaves out one very important part. That take leaves out the most important part of the story. And let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build this city and let us build this tower. But let us do it to make a name for ourselves. That's not trying to reach God. That's trying to glorify humanity. This is a story about motivation. What's our motivation? Are we doing it to make a name for ourselves, or are we doing it because it's what we're here to do? There's nothing wrong with making a name for ourselves along the way, because many of the famous people that you and I study and appreciate and admire made a name for themselves just so we could find out about them. But in our jobs, in our relationships, in our families, are we trying to glorify what's best, or are we trying to glorify us? Are we doing it so that people will appreciate and celebrate us? As many of you all know, I've got a book coming out December 16th called Two You Love God. When I was the minister back at the church on Berry Road, I noticed that we would put together a Sunday service or Saturday night service and people would just be bopping out. They'd feel great, you know? I also noticed that nobody came to my office for counseling or help or anything. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything was good. But around Thursday morning, a couple of people would start showing up. By Friday, they were lined up out the door. And I realized that this feeling that we get needs to get pumped up every once in a while. This reminder, this connection to God. And so I had this idea, what if God sent everybody an email to say, you're okay, you're cool, I love you, and here's a little bit of something to consider. So I launched the browser, and I typed, to you, love God. And I started writing, and that was in 2007. Well, I just added the church's email list, so immediately I had a following, about 300 people. And then it started growing, and then it started growing. And it got to 1,000 people were reading these daily emails that I was writing from God. And my ego was going, this is kind of cool. And then it got to 1,100, and then it got to 1,200, and then it got to 1,300, and then it got to 1,400, and then it went back to 1,300. I don't want to write them anymore. You ask Marty. I actually would sit there some days at the computer and just, I don't want to write them anymore. I'm just being honest. We all do this. We all do this. We do this to aggrandize. We do things not even realizing it to aggrandize ourselves. By the way, I finally decided that, no, I do this because it's what I am and it's who I am. And my goals actually say I don't focus on numbers of butts in the seat or books sold. I simply don't focus on it. I'm on a purpose. So I decided to continue to write. And as a result, it's coming out as a major book this year. Now, if I had tried to write it to make it a major book, what do you think would have happened? It wouldn't have happened. But I was doing it because I was on purpose. Are you on purpose? Are you on purpose? And if so, and you're making a name for yourself at the same time, good for you. That's great. And by that I mean as a parent. If everybody's telling you you're a great parent or a child or a volunteer or whatever it is, but are you doing it for the right reasons? I spoke a couple of days ago in Tampa, Florida. And I flew in, actually it was Wednesday night. I flew in, flew out Thursday. I wasn't even there 24 hours. So I flew into Tampa, Florida, go to the hotel, and I start to watch the game. I'm not a sports fan. I do understand baseball. I played it as a kid, but I don't follow sports. And we don't have cable or anything like that, so I never watch television. But I'm watching the Royals, and I'm getting into the game, and I'm actually starting to recognize people, you know, and I'm watching, you know, guys, and, it, you know, it's so cool. And then all of a sudden they go, we'll go to a commercial. And I'm like, because I haven't seen commercials in a long time. Here's what I learned. There are two men running for governor in Florida. One is a psychopathic killer. The other one must be some sort of alien being. They must both be aliens because in their own commercials they look good. But when the other guy shows them, they look like creepy monsters. Wow. I have to say that I agree with the Tower of Babel story. This is, by the way, this is totally my opinion. I'm Will Bowen and I approve of this part of the message. But I agree with it, and I'll tell you why. We need balance. We need people who are speaking different languages. One of the things I thought was interesting was I heard an African-American woman being interviewed in Florida, and she said, the idea that just because I'm black that I'm going to vote Democrat is insulting. She said, the minute the Democrats believe that, they don't have to work for my vote anymore. How hard would the Democrats work for your vote if there were no Republicans? How hard would the Republicans work for your vote if there were no Democrats? We have this idea that at some point everybody's just going to agree. It's not the way it happens. You know why? We're here to grow, and we need people a little conflicted against us to help us grow. You know how I know? Because I personally have grown a lot over the years, and I don't even agree with myself half the time. I've got that other side. I've got that ego inside of me saying, don't say bless them, say something else when they cut you off in traffic. I've got that ego that wants to be aggrandized just like we all are. And we all do. And if everybody gets together and everybody agrees. I think to have common goals such as, peace is a great one. Taking care of people, treating them with dignity and respect is a great thing. But the idea that we all have to believe the same, man. Human beings will always mess things up. Spiritual beings never will. So my question for you is, which are you? And guess what? You get to decide. You can believe what the world and the politicians and the, you know, henny pennies and everything else that are trying to scare you into believing you are a body. Let me just inform you. I love that concept. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to freak you out. I'm not here to get your vote. I'm just here to inform you. You tell me all that scary stuff, it sure as heck puts me in form. I'm in my body, as opposed to being the spiritual truth that I am. Are you a human being having a spiritual experience? Or are you a spiritual being having a human experience? You get to decide. And then when you decide, you attract people of like mind and you begin to do and build things for the right reason in every way. And then it doesn't matter who gets the name or who gets the credit. What matters is that you're aligned with the highest that is you. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. God, we celebrate. We simply celebrate. Those sacred clowns in our lives, those people who are there to irritate and distract us because they are there to help us refine our position and help us stay on course. The resistance is what makes the plane fly. Thank you, God, for the resistance in our life. So it is. Amen. Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.